Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Are the Bengals still alive here? In my opinion, they are.
Division or wild card?
No, well, the wild card.
Yeah.
Because of the schedule, number one, but they have to win this game. They have to. I mean, the state that Dallas is in, they're horrific, and I realize the Bengals, you know, haven't exactly avoided losses to horrific teams this year. Although, actually, now that I think about it, the only bad loss they had was New England in terms of quality of opponent. And that's the one that's killing them right now. They lost to Kansas City by a point, Washington by 5, Ravens in overtime, Ravens by a single point. They got killed by the Eagles, and then they should have beaten the Chargers, too. And that game was just flat out weird in the fourth quarter. But they're coming at you with Joe Burrow playing as good as he's ever played, with a healthy set of receivers, as good of a set that as there is in the entire league, Higgins and Chase. So if they win this game, they're 5-7. The Cowboys are pretty much broken. And I know they're coming off a very, I thought, fluky sort of win against Washington. That means nothing to me. They stink. They're getting blown out left and right for the most part. By the way, Washington has fallen on hard times, haven't they, Limits?
Ever since they played the Steelers. Have they won a game yet?
No, and they're now in the seventh place in the NFC, in the last wild card spot. They might not make it.
Dan Quinn went from coach of the year to losing to the guy that's going to get fired in Dallas at head coach.
Point being, they're going to beat Dallas, I think, on a Monday night. Then they have Tennessee. I mean, the Titans stink, don't they? And I know they beat Houston, but they're 3-8. They're just not very good. The Bengals have a chance to run off some games if they win this thing. Then they have Cleveland at home. That's a team they've already beaten, and they don't play well against a lot. I get that, but they've already beaten them. They're going to win that game at home. And then I think their season will come down to the game, well, the final two games, really, but the game at home against Denver, I bet you that'll be flexed to a night game. Long way of saying this is their game. They need to win this game. When I say this is their game, I mean it's their season. Boils down to beating the Steelers here on Sunday. So just know that you're going to be facing a team with that mentality. Because if they get to 5-7, I don't think it's unrealistic for them to get to 6-7, 7-7, 8-7, going into the Denver game. I just don't think that's unrealistic at all. Do you?
No, I mean, their schedule is the polar opposite of what the Steelers is, where it was difficult at first and then gets significantly easier. There's no reason why they shouldn't win the game at Dallas. I don't care that Dallas just won. Will Levis. And, I mean, division games are division games, but they have the Browns at home. In Denver, I mean, Are they a fluke? I don't think so. But they're still a team that Cincinnati should beat at home on paper.
Well, at least you go to that game. If I'm the Bengals, I got to get to that game with a chance. And the season's not over until you lose your ninth game. Then I think you're out of it. I think it's conceivable you get in at 9-8 if you beat Denver. But 10-7, obviously, the preferred way for them to get there is to simply not lose again. I don't know how realistic that is, but I think not losing over their next 3-4 games could be very realistic. But they got a tough one Sunday, and they got to get by that. That's the mentality that the Steelers will be dealing with. Denver plays at home against the Browns, then they get a bye week, then at home against Indy, and then at the Chargers. That's one. That's going to be a gigantic game. And I think the Chargers will win that game. So I think the Bengals are going to go into that Denver game, if they win this one, with a chance to break a tie for the seventh spot. I think they're very alive, and I think they're very dangerous. I don't know how other people feel about that at 412-928-9370. But I think that's precisely what you're dealing with here. But there's still some things to clean up from the last game, believe it or not. I want to hear Ben on different topics here. And I know you have a bunch of stuff from the football and podcast, which is great. He's great on it. Let's hear some, and we'll riff on it for a minute.
Let's start with Ben wanting Justin Fields to be used in a package of plays.
To me, it needs to be used. It's not every time you have a third and short or every time you have fourth and short. There still needs to be a package. It's 5 to 7 plays, which I think he did play, you know, 7 plays. I thought Justin, his big 30-yard run was kind of a game changer. It kind of brought new life and gave us an opportunity. You ask Justin to throw the ball late in the game when he hasn't thrown the ball in a while. Maybe that's a call he made. I don't know.
It seemed like he changed the line.
And he might have. He saw 1-on-1. You go to George Pickens. I don't hate that call. I just day after questions. But yeah, I mean, I like the Fields package. I just don't, it can't be every third and short or every fourth and short. It has to be used kind of like a sparingly, has to be used at the right time.
Well, let's hear the part about Justin being a receiver. That's what I'm more interested in.
All right, here's that one.
I would like to see, like, line him up at receiver a couple times. Put him at different spots. Because what that does, even if you don't do anything with it, is, again, any time that you can force an opponent to spend 5 minutes on something that they might never see, it takes them away from preparing for what they will see. So whether that's Danny Smith fake punting, fake field, like any of those things, force a team. You send a guy in motion on a punt. Anything you may do that's unique and different forces an opponent to at least consider or take a look at it during the week of practice. Let's start putting both of them on the field a little bit, just every once in a while. And you can still do the same thing. You could put him out at receiver and hand the ball to Nodge like you were going to run a normal play. But having him a receiver now makes you think, like, okay, are they going to throw it to him? Are they going to run a reverse pass to him? Are they going to – I'm not saying you have to put Russ at wide receiver, that the typical, like, okay, nothing's gonna happen there, but I'd like to start seeing some unique lineup type play calling to just throw the defense into a little bit of a tizzy. Again, I like bringing Justin on some stuff. I'd like to see him in the red zone a little bit more, because I think what he can bring in the red zone can be very valuable.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable he just said. I've been talking for years about my dream backfield of having 2 quarterbacks/running backs who can do anything. I'm not sure Russell fits that bill right now in his career, but he can still move around a little bit. I'd love to see them on the field together at times. I'm with Ben 100%. How do we know that Justin Fields can't take a handoff or a pitch out or catch a pass? How do we know he's not Cordell Stewart? Do we know that? He's one of the most electric athletes in the league, is what he is. He came into the game the other night. Everybody knew he's a threat to run. What does he do? He takes off down the right sideline like a bolt of lightning. He thinks he should have scored. I do too. He said he wasn't really warmed up. That's what you get with this guy. So what's the difference between that and some sort of misdirection where Russ would pitch the ball to Justin Fields or throw a 10-yard pass? Who's to say he can't catch a ball too?
I don't know. It seems pretty gimmicky. I mean, doesn't it? You're lining Justin Fields up.
No, it doesn't.
Are you lining them up right next to each other? Are you lining Fields up as a wide receiver like Ben suggested to basically have him go in motion?
Anything. If Justin Fields on the field is again, I think he's a game breaker of a runner. He's electric with the ball in his hands. I think it's derelict of duty as an offense not to have the ball in his hands sometimes. Everybody, here's the thing, too, about this last game. Everybody is focused on the idiotic decision to have him throw a pass, and it was idiotic. And the fact that some other snaps with him didn't go well. What they're not so focused on was that the game was over, I think. The Steelers were done. The Browns had all the momentum, and they put Justin Fields in the game, and he completely turned the momentum with a 30-yard run. Completely turned the game back around, and the Steelers went from there and actually took a lead. So that's using him. I think in this game, they used him in the worst possible way and the best possible way. He's a change of pace. When you're losing, when you're getting smacked a little bit, he should be a short yardage and red zone guy once in a while. And I think in this case, I agree with Ben. Only I think he's more than a decoy. How do we know you can't throw a ball to him? He's an incredible athlete. I would imagine he can catch a football.
Does Justin Fields, though, want, remember when Lamar Jackson was being talked about as should he run as a wide receiver at the combine?
Yeah.
And some of these other players, and he didn't want to buy into it.
Yeah.
I mean, for good reason. Would Justin Fields feel a similar way to that?
I don't care how Justin Fields feels. Right now, he's a gimmick guy anyway.
You're asking him to play like a Deebo Samuel type of role at this point, right? Like as a running back, wide receiver type of player?
That's what they're asking him to do anyway. They're certainly not asking him to pass except for third and four once a month where he throws a jump ball up there. He's coming in as a running back, as a running quarterback. You know, he might not like it, but that's the situation. And I just want the ball in his hands. This offense has been stagnant against good teams, against the crap teams on the schedule. They've eaten them alive. We know that, but guess what? There are no more, well, except for the Browns, but they're in your division, so it's a little bit different. There are no more Giants and Jets and Cowboys on the schedule. They're all done. It's time for big boys in a lot of ways, and I would even include the Bengals there. Those teams are done. When the Steelers have played good teams on offense, they've largely failed. I think they've played five teams in playoff position. One was Atlanta. They didn't score a touchdown. One was Denver. They had 13 points. One was the Chargers. They had 20, and they were brutal for a half. One was Washington, which is now a fringe playoff team, and they had a good offensive game. One was Baltimore. They didn't score a touchdown. So something got to change with the way that they approach games against good teams. And I know the Bengals' defense has not been good, so don't get me wrong on that. The thing is, they're probably going to need to score a pile of points to win this game. And if that means getting more creative in your use of certain people, namely Fields, then I'm all for it.
So are you suggesting lining up Russell Wilson for a play or two out wide as a wide receiver?
No, that's not what he said, and that's not what I'm saying.
No.
I'm saying Justin Fields out wide.
What I'm saying, though, is, I mean, that could be because that's used in college offenses where they'll put a quarterback out basically as a decoy.
Yeah, no. Ben even said no interest in that.
I have no interest in that either.
I have interest in getting the ball in Fields' hands in different ways. Yes, I do.
You're going to throw Justin Fields a bubble screen?
I'd rather throw it to him than Cordero Patterson in his current state.
Yeah, I would too.
He runs like Cabali. Now that I'm not, well, I guess I'm still
angry at him.
Berating Cabali.
Yeah.
Cordero, I'm not sure. Cabali isn't more explosive than Cordero Patterson.
Off his Achilles injury.
That's got to go. If I'm Mike Tomlin, that's item number one is, listen, Cordero's not himself. He's either hurt or he's done. Please take him out of your red zone package. Please don't throw him a fade pass. Please let's not use him on a reverse. If you're going to do some things, some different creative things like that, how about Justin? How about that?
I really do wonder if it would hurt team dynamic because, I mean, we say, oh, I mean, come on, they got to get over it. But, I mean, people are not robots. Like, is Calvin Austin going to throw a fit if they're throwing bubble screens to Justin Fields?
Who cares what Calvin Austin does?
Yeah, that's what we say. But I wonder if that's something inside the building that they wonder and they talk about because they're dealing with human beings. I don't know. I'm sure it's probably a discussion.
Do your job. Be quiet and do your job is what I would tell them.
They're in the NFL. They're
Calvin
egos.
Austin. If Calvin Austin wasn't mad about never seeing the ball for months at a time, who cares what Calvin Austin thinks about anything? Honestly.
Oh, it could be Calvin Austin. It could be Pickens. I mean, I don't think anybody's concerned about Van Jefferson at this point, but
I'm with Ben on that one. Let me hear the next Ben clip, if you would, Limitless Wonder.
Yes, you may.
First, let me get to this fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Ben questioning some of the decisions that Mike Tomlin made. Should he have punted a couple of times on fourth down?
What felt weird to me is that it felt rushed.
The field goal.
The field goal felt rushed. Like was it a late field goal call? Was Coach Tomlin thinking about punting first? And then he's like, let's go field goal. Because it looked like the play clock was getting low. You know, like that's not like Boz is usually he's out there, he's ready to go. So like that's what it just didn't feel right to me. And then him missing, it was just like, man. But again, how upset are we going to get at Boz? Not at all. Yeah. 58 yards in a blizzard. I know it was before it got crazy, but the wind was obviously blowing out there. Missing that field goal was tough. I wondered just kind of my thoughts about some of the fourth downs and some of the decisions that Coach T was choosing. Like I wondered in that kind of a game when you know that they're maybe struggling on offense and your defense is playing well, like did he ever consider punting on some of those fourth downs or just trying to flip the field?
Sure.
You know, like let's play the field position game because there were times obviously going for it on fourth down, going for a long field goal that you gave them great, you gave them the field position.
Yeah.
When, you know, let's punt it back. Let's play the game back and forth, but you never was what Coach Tom doesn't want to live in his fears. So it's a Monday morning or Tuesday morning questions. Yeah. Like, should we have played the game?
Well, then let's spin that forward. If they find themselves in similar situations in Cincinnati against a team they know they can score or that they know can score, are you still going to be that aggressive on fourth downs and things like that? Limits? Are you going to punt the ball away? I kind of like the aggression myself.
I love that it always comes back to living in your fears.
Yeah.
It always does, or not. And I was completely okay with both fourth down
plays. Is Kabali living in his fears, do you think, generally speaking?
Yeah, you know, once you have a couple of Achilles injuries and other things that go on, I think you do live in your fears a little bit. Maybe he's not going to be playing in any turkey bowls anytime soon.
It seems to me he is, in many ways, living in his fears. But yeah. So for Cincy, using the same approach?
I would, yeah. I mean, to beat an offense like that?
I mean, you too.
Did it against Cleveland, whose offense isn't very good.
I didn't really mind the aggressive approach. However, I do agree with Ben. Not only did the field goal feel rushed, but the fourth and one in the first half with Fields, as we've talked about many times this week, felt rushed. It's got to be a smoother operation, more decisive and smoother. Starting with the head coach in those situations. Not to mention, you know, should we have them go third and seven or fourth and two? Almost like panic set in, so he calls a timeout that they could have desperately used on the final drive. There's no reason to call a timeout there. I think the head coach has to be more decisive on these weighty, as he would say, plays. These fourth down plays, third down plays, critical plays where you have a decision to make and you got to go with it. Things look rushed and harried too often in that game. That's my opinion. And sounds like Ben's too.
Yeah, and it's mine as well. We're three of a kind on this one. One texter points out a good point that we haven't talked about yet. Are they ignoring Mike Williams in the offense? Is he washed?
We haven't talked about
that. Trade.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet. That's a great question for the next segment. It really is. I got asked that in the old mailbag this week too, the intergalactically read mailbag. Fan Twitter. Did I already do that like 2 seconds ago? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
It's been that kind of day. I told you I was walking around my basement this morning with my glasses on, looking for my glasses.
Do you have your glasses on right now?
Yes.
Very good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. What are your plans for tomorrow, Limits, for a big Thanksgiving?
Well, we have Thanksgiving first at my grandmother's in Youngstown, so we'll go to that. That'll be fun. And then meeting up with other family later on at the house.
Do you go as a family to Youngstown? Everybody packs in the same car like when you were little?
Typically, but I'll be playing in the Turkey Bowl, so I'll be getting there a little bit later.
Is the Turkey Bowl a tackle football game?
The Turkey Bowl used to be a tackle football game. Now, we've gotten a little bit older, so it is TBD if the Turkey Bowl is going to be a tackle football game this year, but it's going to be a safe game to make sure that nobody gets hurt.
And what position do you play?
I usually play receiver. Usually everybody plays receiver, and there's like an
a slot receiver like Julian Edelman or an outside guy like George Pickens?
No,
and if there's
I play
a Hail
slot.
Mary at the end of the game, are you going to be involved in the play or getting a fight in the end zone?
If there's a Hail Mary at the end of the play, I will be the man waiting for the deflection at the back of the end zone to catch it.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 47, cloudy skies, 50% chance of rain overnight. All right, we mentioned Mike Williams. What a very, very odd situation. This dude comes in and from out of nowhere makes a great catch. And if you really look at that catch he had against Washington, it was over the opposite shoulder, over his head, and that takes a lot of concentration skill to do that, especially in that moment. He hasn't been targeted since then. And we're sitting here talking about, can you get Brian Kelly? We're sitting here talking about the same thing over and over.
How about him losing a big commit? The number one quarterback in the country decommitted from LSU and is going to Michigan.
Anytime Brian Kelly loses anything, I'm pleased, including games, which he's lost some big ones this year. But it's the same conversation about the red zone. We've gone up and down the list from play calling to Justin Fields to Connor Hayward to the offensive line. What about Mike Williams? That's what he does. He's a red zone guy. Where's he been, Limits?
Your guess is as good as mine. Has he been checking out the incline? Has he been looking at the city on Mount Washington? I don't know where he might have been. Well, I mean, seriously, it doesn't make any sense why they would trade for him and not utilize him at all. Like, is he going to turn into Melvin Ingram saying, I don't want to be here anymore? You don't use me? I don't think so.
Oh, no.
But, I mean,
is he going to quit like LeGarrette Blunt and Ingram? Who else quit in the middle of games?
AB, in Tampa?
James Harrison quit in the middle of his final season. That would be horrible if he pulled a Melvin Ingram. Suddenly he's got a hamstring going into this game. Next thing he's gone.
Remember he was injured before he was eventually traded? Or no, that was a...
I don't get it. And does it get back to the idea that he's sort of a 50-50 replica of George Pickens? And is it a good thing or a bad thing to have two of similarly styled receivers like that? You know, I think it was Matt Ryan who said the first week that it's good because then as a quarterback, you take your pick. You have two options to go down the field, and the safety's got to commit somewhere. If there's a single safety back there, you got to go with one. You go to the other. But I guess the other has to be on the field to make that happen. And then you wonder, listen, on certain plays and certain packages, we only want one moon ball 50-50 guy down a sideline. We don't want two. We want other different options. Well, none of the other options are really coming into play that much in the red zone. So what do you do? Where is he? What's happening?
I mean, they could even use him underneath, anywhere. Because looking at the snap counts that come out on Mondays, and I guess it was Friday last week.
Do you have it?
It was low. I'm going to pull it up right now. But
I mean, I don't get it.
I think it was seven.
Skowronek has more catches over the last couple of weeks than him. Is that right? Or at least the same?
Yeah.
How many didn't Skowronek make a play against the Ravens?
Mike Williams had 19 snaps. Ben Skowronek only had two snaps against Cleveland this past week.
Against Cleveland, okay. Yeah, and he only has one catch. Well, that's the same. He has the same amount of catches as Williams since Williams got here.
Yeah, but Williams was a game-winning touchdown. So you might think that
they'd
use him maybe a little bit more after that.
You would think. I thought that's why they brought him in. What's the problem? He didn't adapt to the offense in New York. Is that happening here too? I don't know. Was Tomlin not asked about that yesterday?
Oh, he was. And here's what he had to say.
He's done a nice job, man, just fitting in, learning our football and how we go about our business and getting himself ready for what we're asking him to do week in and week out. And it's reasonable to expect that to continue and grow the longer he's here.
He's getting ready. He's that sprinter that's waiting for the gun to go off, and it must take like an hour for the race to start. I guess that's what's going on with Mike Williams. He's ready. He's just waiting.
Which game are you looking forward to the most tomorrow, Limits? Chicago at Detroit, Giants at Dallas.
Oh, that one.
Or Miami at Green Bay.
I cannot wait to watch the Giants and Dallas. That is going to be so much fun. There might be a combined 10 points scored in that one. Miami and Green Bay, for sure.
Chicago and Detroit for me. A legendary matchup. And Caleb Williams against that team. I just love games in Detroit on Thanksgiving.
Me too.
It's a great tradition. Ever since I was a wee lad growing up in Buffalo. But yeah, Miami Green Bay is going to be good. Green Bay, to me, is the most under-talked about good team in the NFL. I mean, Jordan Love was hurt for a while, and they're a third-place team right now, but they're 8-3. People talking about Mike Tomlin for coach of the year. Can you believe the Steelers? Oh, my God, this is amazing. Well, the Packers are 8-3. Are they amazing? They happen to play in the same division as the Lions. It's not their fault. They played an unbelievable game, by the way, a couple weeks back. It was what? It was a 10-point game in the end, but it was that game competitive at the end? Nah, they cut it. Nah, it wasn't really that competitive. Shame on me. Anyway, they're 8-3, but nobody talks about them.
No, and Malik Willis won them a couple games, who they ran out of town in Tennessee.
I know.
For Mason.
Who's the coach of the year for you right now?
Well, Dan Quinn has lost all favor in that.
You know who it is for me?
Mike Tomlin.
No.
Not anymore.
And you know who I think should win by a landslide is Andy Reid.
No, I disagree.
This is a team, there's a certain sort of description of teams that win coach of the year. Coaches that win coach of the year. And the description of their team is they came from nowhere, from rubble, to be a surprise. This guy, every single team has that game circled. Every single team's gunning for the Chiefs. They're trying to do what has never been done before, which is win 3 Super Bowls in a row. And they're sitting here at 10-1. I don't give a crap about their point differential. Whether they're going to actually do it, and whether the fact they've played so many close games is a sign that they might not, is a very separate conversation from who's coach of the year, who's having the best regular season. This guy and that team, unbelievable the way they find ways to win games. Even the one they lost was highly competitive well into the fourth quarter. It took a fourth down run by Josh Allen. We'd be talking about an 11-0 team.
They've won back-to-back Super Bowls. Coach of the year is supposed to be a coach rising up a team from the ashes.
We have to go.
I would go with, even though this isn't rising from the ashes, I'd go with Campbell in Detroit.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Joe.